Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online, thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3.
Come on.
welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Are you ready, magical engineer? Yes, magical engineer Frank's ready. I'm ready. We have a great show. First part of the show, and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR and other networks. We're going to talk about what's inside medical school. Want to step in there, Frank? Be a medical school student for just a momento and see what goes on. We're going to talk about that, and we have a quack report. But before we get to all that good stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to righteous men and women in uniform. Hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time. It grows short. First devotional is 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's right. If you want to go from corruptible to incorruptible, seek the Lord's face and mind the time. It grows short. He's coming soon. He is. And you want him to find you about the Father's business, studying the Word of God, living a good life according to God's ways. You'll be the good son. You want those crowns, don't you? Yep. You want to get that reward, so mind the time. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, Quacker's a bit brief, Frank. First and last but not least, we're going to be talking about a little bit about medical school students in the first part of the show. So what are they doing in medical schools? Well, they're talking about flipping the classroom. What does that mean? Well, apparently medical school students often don't show up for class. So the universities and the medical schools are trying to find ways to better engage their students. So they come to class. What will the future of doctors be when they kind of flip the classroom on its head and produce, I don't know, the future doctor kiosk? So we're going to talk about that in the first half hour of the show, and that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, Frank, you're being so, I don't know, cheeky today. Frank is saying that he doesn't need medical school to take drugs and alcohol and practice sleep deprivation. Thanks, Frank. All right. Well, let's just take a little peek inside medical school for just a little bit here. So what is it like being a medical student? You know, I've heard stories from medical professionals while I worked in healthcare, and most of what I was told is that, you know, doctors rarely get any sleep and they have a little free time. And I was kind of painted this picture of being dedicated, hardworking medical students who sacrifice a lot to become a health professional. And I'm sure some of them do. But I want to see what's going on now because, you know, that's, you know, what, 30 years ago? So what medical school students are doing? What are they seeing? What are they viewing? Well, according to a medical school student, Alexander Phillips, who is attending Brown University Medical School, he says at the Warren Albert Medical School at Brown, he says, the academic life is not what most of us think it is. Here's what Phillips says. He says, my peers and I almost never went to lectures. Less than 25% of the students attend class in person and watch instead a taped version of the class later at home at their leisure. And the COVID pandemic accelerated this practice. Okay, so are the medical schools concerned about this? Well, yes, they are. They say they are. So can they do anything about it? Well, I would think they could, right? I mean, when I went to school, you know, the principal, the teachers, you know, when they said something, you jumped. But this is all yet to be seen. So the area of healthcare is changing rapidly, and the virtual visits are already being integrated in healthcare. So, you know, a lot of people too busy to go to the doctor's office, they just get on their iPhone watch and talk to their doctor that way, or, you know, through their computer or tablet. And the doctor doesn't touch them, doesn't see them face to face, and can diagnose them right there. So the area of healthcare is changing like that. So what's really interesting is that these institutions claim that these changes, get this, are being driven by the students. Like what? So the question is, how will this behavior affect the doctor's responsibility toward patient care? Now I'm like, how can the students be, you know, given the orders here? What'd you say, Frank? Frank says, pretty easy rule. You don't show up, you fail class. Well, you would think so, Frank. You would think so. But, you know, we're talking about people starting to think that, you know, kids getting together to play a soccer game, they're all winners, nobody loses. This is the mentality. Okay, so here's a quote. This is Philip Capazio. Now, Capazio is a medical doctor. He's a professor. He is a professor at Brown. He's a professor of pediatrics, molecule biology, and cell biology and biochemistry. Okay, he says this: In my 40 years of teaching, the in-person lecture attendance is the lowest I've ever seen. Even before the COVID pandemic, first and the second year medical students regularly skip the lectures, he says, end of quote. They do it as a regular practice. What'd you say, Frank? Does the phrase lunatic run in the asylum ring a bell? Aha. Well, you're getting close. Let's look at the first 2 years of medical students. What are they doing? Well, according to Alexander Phillips, I think he's a third-year student now, but he said the first 2 years of medical school, he says they call it pre-clerkship. So the curriculum is said to prepare students for the later half of their education in medical school. So in their pre-clerkship, the students are required to work in patient care teams. And they learn things like technical elements of doctors before they see their patients. So in other words, how the doctor gets prepared before he walks in the room to see the patient. They also learn in anatomy. Get this, embryology, which is embryo development, as well as physiology, pathology, and also pharmacology. Now, they also learn health system science, which means the ethics and professionalism of the public health system. They also have labs where they may dissect cadavers and also practice how to interview patients and how a physician should conduct the exam. Okay? So this is what they learn in their pre-clerkship. So a lot of that stuff, you know, sounds like it should be hands-on in a classroom setting with peers all around them and professors. Wouldn't you think, Frank? I would think so, right? All right. So if they're skipping lectures, I don't know how I guess they're not going to anatomy. I don't know. So what you got here in my, the only way I can say it is virtual learning chaos. So as with most educational establishment, the virtual learning was not as successful during the COVID for a lot of students. You heard this from, you know, elementary, middle, high school student classes. So Phillips, Alexander Phillips, he agrees. He stated the obvious, which is students could not ask questions and provided a very isolated environment, he said. However, the medical students wanted to learn how to become doctors on their own time too. Sort of like, you know, we can't have your cake and eat it too thing. So, what a dilemma. So from this, some schools now are using what is called a virtual lecture learning, where students can log on and select their class and see a virtual class and can rewind or fast forward at their own pace. They are calling it flipped classroom. So, I guess this could do away with the need for, I don't know, a large campus, right? Well, wait until artificial intelligence takes over this. How are they going to prepare the next generation of physicians? That's a good question. Let's see. Dr. Picasso says this. He says, there is a very real threat to the medical education enterprise in altering the role of the physician, remove the gratification that comes with face-to-face teaching, and we risk losing the commitment of medical professors and faculty. Some have called for a pre-clerkship years to be entirely virtual. Entirely virtual. Well, I guess if we wanted to go to medical school, Frank, we could just do it right now through Google. Just asking. So if medical schools, trim the classroom down to just maybe virtual learning, well, the dynamics to determining competency by simply mastering coursework rather than doing it at a set time is altered. Yet Brown University and others are using this flipped classroom approach for the first 2 years of medical school in hopes it will better prepare students for the underlying science, the peer interaction, and the building of relationships with their teachers for the latter half of their education. Yes, doing away with traditional education format for virtual content will most likely save the establishment money, but what about the stimulating debate and the discussion students will miss out on? The missed opportunities of establishing connections with peers and faculty. Imagine students not asking the question, but why does it have to be done that way? I could see that in a classroom asking a professor, why can't we do it this way? You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. So, however, this new way is called optimizing in-person sessions. It's not in person. I don't know why they call it that. What did you say, Frank? Frank, the engineer, says, if I can sit in front of my computer on my couch in my house at my leisure, how is a $200,000 college bill justified? Well, that's a good question. Where's the overhead, right? Okay, Brown University says this. We are rethinking how do we train the next generation of physicians while we support the decision medical students have already made to learn on their own time. Traditional versus flipped pre-clerkship medical science classrooms is the future. Why are they letting the students dictate this? That's my question. So what does the future hold here? Will medical schools be getting the pre-clerkship education right by flipping the classroom? Well, Brown University isn't the only school looking at making these changes. Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School is looking at using an accelerated clinical learning model, shortening the first 2 years of medical school to down to 18 months. And we have to wonder, well, what's the next step? Are you going to remove the pass-fail grading system? That is a valid question. That's what you were asking too, Frank. So here's what Carol Tirigo, MD, she's a medical doctor. She's also the senior associate dean for education at the academic affairs at Rutgers. She says this, it's better to me to shorten the foundational science curriculum. Why is it better to shorten it? I don't know. Was it full of fluff? Stuff they didn't need? Don't know. Well, it's a mighty change. Definitely a mighty change. The medical schools may be taking a very big risk in making these structural changes to their teaching. I personally believe that the changes might make economic sense, but will they be good for patients in the end? So the future will tell what caliber of physicians the new programs are going to produce. Wow. So when I discovered the power of medicinal herbs 30 years ago, it kind of blew me away. I thought herbs at that time were the best kept secret for overall wellness. And I was not wrong, because God's word says it. He confirms it. He said herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And God says we can trust it. God can't lie. So I think modern healthcare is a as a trauma-based service has its place. But the rest of it, you know, I have a big question mark on it. So if you're interested in learning more about medicinal herbs that may assist you and empower you, I'd give Apothecary Herbs a call. They have a free product catalog they can send you. The catalog and their website is full of formulas they make for immune boosting, metabolic support, and organ detoxing. So you have tools and you'll have information, and that's going to be empowering to you. Give them a call at 866-229-3663, and you can request a catalog over the phone. 866-229-3663. International, you can call 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Now, they have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And when you put the catalog in your shopping cart and you check out for free, because the catalog's free, you'll also receive in your email confirmation a download link if you want to download the catalog, but that's optional. You will also be sent a hard copy, so don't think it's just a download. So you will also get a hard copy, and you should allow 5 to 10 days for delivery after you request it. So thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. And be empowered. What'd you say, Frank? Frank's chiming in again. He says, these doctors are already no better than someone who watched a YouTube on your problem, about to just get less and less competent. Wow. Well, I don't know how many times I've talked to people in the last week that, you know, they went to their doctor about something and they had a face-on-face interaction in an appointment in the exam room, which I don't know if that's going to go away or not. But anyway, so they're saying the doctors didn't know what they had and how to fix it. Wow. A couple times this week, people were telling me that. Wow. Well, then you have to figure, you know, do you want to go for the tests? Do you want to pay the money? And, you know, tests can be helpful in some instances, but tests, for the most part, our doctors, you know, it's a process of elimination what you don't have, typically what the tests are there for. So, and they have a 20% error margin built into them, so they are what they are. So that's why we have second and third opinions. See, what'd you say, Frank? They're guessing? Well, an educated guess is a hypothesis, I guess you could call it that. You know, and a lot of times people don't realize a lot of the diagnosis or, you know, definitions of what the doctor says they have is so general, like dermatitis. All that means is you have inflamed skin. Doesn't say what's inflaming the skin, what condition is underlying it, or anything like that. They just say dermatitis. Virus, basically, is a very general description, and it used to mean we don't know what you have, right? Because there's thousands and thousands of viruses, you know? And the typical average person going to a general practitioner isn't going to get tested for which virus they have. Okay. First of all, it's impractical and too expensive. And the same thing goes for, you know, like ear infections on kids. You know, pediatrics, you know, you take your kid, oh yeah, he's got ear infection. First thing to do is whip out their prescription pad and, well, here's some amoxicillin, you know. So the thing is it could be a virus inflaming the ear, and not a bacterial infection, in which the amoxicillin wouldn't be very helpful. The only way to determine if it's a bacterial ear infection is to take a sample of the fluid that's behind the eardrum that's causing the pressure and pain, have it analyzed, and then prescribe accordingly. But that's so painful, kids aren't going to like a syringe going in their ear. And so it's not done. So they just kind of guess at that. Yes, Frank, it's a guess. Frank has just gotten to the heart of the matter. I know, it's my brother calls it the swag method, you know. He was very upset. He got misdiagnosed for like 10 years on a condition, and he's just very skeptical. He's skeptical of doctors now. He calls it the swag method. He's saying, excuse my French, he calls it scientific wild-ass guess, swag. There it is. Well, I mean, like I said, we have to be discerning. Pick out the parts of healthcare that will be beneficial and run for the ones that won't. So not everything is going to be to your benefit within healthcare. And I've worked in it and should know some of it's not real kosher. So, and I think a lot of people are kind of waking up to that, Frank, don't you think? I think they are. The consensus, talking to people over the last, 25 years is, they're becoming more educated. They're becoming, they're more inquisitive. They're just not taking the doctor's word for it. They're asking questions. Like, how come, doc? Why do you say that? How come you came to that decision? Walk me through it. Of course, doctors aren't really, they didn't get in their medical career. They didn't get in that pre-clerkship argumentative patience. I don't think that was in the curriculum. What'd you say, Frank? Trust in no man. Verify, verify, verify. All right, right. Well, what does the Bible say? You know, that there's a benefit to having many counselors where you're, making sure, you're checking it out, vetting, as they say, the thing. So, I just thought we'd walk through the new medical school setup. And to be honest, I'm leery, very leery of what they're doing. And what'd you say, Frank? my grandsons were in elementary school during the COVID. They're still in elementary school, but their mother's a teacher. And the virtual stuff was stressful. Very much the challenge. And the kids, not learning as well. So we'll see. Oh, I can see by the clock. We're going to be taking a break, but when we come back, we'll have more information. Don't go away.
Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Appreciate the bouncy music. Awesome stuff. Well, we're going to touch around to kind of the subjects of doctors and medical school. I thought we'd talk about, I don't know, the topic of how doctors get paid. They get paid more than one way. So, you know, it's not anything new that, you know, people know doctors get kickbacks and things like that. You know, it's kind of tempting for medical professionals to get kickbacks. Let's just call it what it is. It's a bribe. Okay. So once, once the doctors start accepting the subsidies, if you want to call it subsidies, which is really old term for a bribe, healthcare incentives for medical practitioners keep getting better and better. So according to research from Segrum Strategic Data, they said that the pharmaceutical companies spend over $24 billion marketing their drugs just to doctors. So the Hippocratic Oath kind of gone by the wayside. Doctors today say that's outdated, ceremonial, it's a relic, we don't need that. However, the oath reminded doctors that they promised patients to do no harm. So if medical practitioners are selling out to drug companies, patients have less protection from the industry that has really become very corrupt year after year. So we're going to take a look at the history of bribery. So when we take a closer look at what is subsidized these days, we can confirm that human health is on the list. So we often think of subsidies as financial assistance, and it may also mean to secure cooperation through bribery. So the word subsidy has a history. In 1815, the word often meant to pay for or to hire mercenaries and or to buy alliances for neutrality, which is all another way of saying to bribe. So it wasn't until 1828 that the term subsidized was used to describe government grant money, which people interpreted as, you know, to remove a tax burden. So therefore, a financial subsidy is often an exchange or a purchase for something. So students who get educational subsidies have to qualify by cooperating with government demands, and farmers who want government subsidies have to agree to certain conditions, such as what they could grow and at what price they can sell their crop for. Now, other examples of subsidies are welfare checks and housing loans. And in general, a subsidy extends to tax allowances or returns, duty taxes, rebates, employment regulations, investment regulations, economic regulations, transportation, and now government health care. In effect, every person is at some point confronted into accepting a subsidy. Well, here's something you should know. Medical professionals have had to bear the cost of the Affordable Care Act regarding compliance issues. So they are under a lot of pressure to cooperate with the healthcare system. They replaced it with this new thing. And according to a study by the Drexel Dorm Safe School of Public Health, it was done by Genevieve Farm Cantor, PhD. This person said approximately two-thirds of Americans are under a licensed doctor care, and the new healthcare system is supposed to be swift to collect data and track what doctors are paid. So the open payments, the government site reports that the pharmaceutical and the medical device payments are also listed for doctors. So the data reveals 65% of your physicians are receiving payments or, let's say, gifts from pharmaceutical or other companies that are developing medical devices. Only 5% of the patients are aware their doctor may be receiving monetary incentives by these companies. Now, according to Dr. Farm Cantor's research, the healthcare professionals heavily accepting money, the professions under the category of orthopedic surgeons, obstetricians, and gynecologists. So in the orthopedic segment of the medical industry, especially outside the United States, patients are sold replacement body parts that they really don't need. And the kickback or the bribes that doctors accept is not in the patient's best interest, and patients need to research their options and their medical providers. So how do they get paid? I mean, wouldn't the IRS know something, or wouldn't somebody know something? Well, one question people asked Dr. Camphor was on the survey is, how are doctors getting this money? Well, what form of payment is it coming in? Well, aside from a suitcase of cash, what may be attracting your doctor to hold out his hand and not be obvious? Well, the bribes come in many forms, but the ones that are more subtle are the ones doctors go for because they are easier to camouflage as something else on paper. So, for instance, the drug companies may reward a doctor for pushing their name brand drug, right, or recommending a medical device by inviting that doctor to speak at a conference, a medical conference, and paying a speaker fee, usually in the six figures. Other compensation could be travel trips, research gifts, interest ownership in a company, or stock options. And according to Dr. Cantor, the physician that writes $2 to $3 million worth of drug prescriptions, they are usually rewarded in the $200,000 to $300,000 range. So in the case of the painkiller fentanyl, that is equivalent to 33,333 prescriptions per year, or 91 prescriptions a day for just one drug. So this can turn a medical physician into a street drug pusher in a skinny minute. And the study shows that from 2013 to 15, the drug companies paid over $700 million to doctors and hospitals for pushing an allergy drug called Elixir and the antiviral drug Tamiflu. So to confirm the study, ProPublica researched this and in 2016 stated, doctors who take the kickbacks from drug companies prescribe higher percentages of the brand name drugs than their colleagues do. And we're supposed to believe that the money, that the payments, the gifts, the stock options do not influence doctors and it does not benefit the drug company. We're supposed to believe that. No. So a higher power is going to say money answers all things. And as if bribes were not the moral problem in healthcare, we would not need transparency sites like Open Payments and Sunshine Law to try to keep physicians honest. So Dr. Cantor's study was published in the 2017 Journal of General Internal Medicine. So medical professionals often have to take classes to continue their education in their field. They also have to be part of an accreditation requirement to maintain their medical license. So what the public really doesn't know is that a lot of these pharmaceutical and medical device industries sponsor over one-third of these medical training classes and publish the materials used in the class. So this makes for really cozy bedfellows and conflicts of interest. And it makes you wonder why the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education allows it. Money answereth all things. Here is a quote from Chris Wright, ZS Associates and Legal Consultants, who says this: drug companies will not stop wooing doctors. They may simply get better at it. End of quote. And Michelle Mello, who's a Stanford lawyer, says drug companies have long known that even a small gift to a physician can be influential, and research validates the notion that they tend to induce feelings of reciprocity. End of quote. So now the area of the pharmaceutical business notorious for paying their kickbacks on drugs is a lot of the pain medications is in that loop. This has contributed to a lot of addictions, of course, and drug companies hire physicians to talk with doctors in their practices to influence them to prescribe these type of drugs, and drug companies refer to these persuasive physician meetings as speaker bureaus. Have to go to a speaker bureau. See you later, Phil. Uh-huh. Here is John Roper. He's a sales manager with Insays Therapeutics. He says, we invest a lot of time, money, blood, sweat, and tears on our guys. We hire only the best of the best to be part of our speaker bureau, and dropping script, also money, counts. Dropping the money. So interestingly, Mr. Roper here and some other employees were arrested in 2016, allegedly for a medical kickback scheme. Roper was said to have pleaded guilty in a Connecticut federal court to paying physicians, nurses, and physician assistants at speaking events in exchange for pushing their drug fentanyl. And so there is abuse and misuse of the painkiller medications in our industry, and which manufacturers and people that prescribe them. So this problem has been kind of going on for years, and the fentanyl overdose spotlight has kind of shown its light on this area. Now, in some U.S. states, they publish an activity list between physicians and pharmaceuticals and the medical device companies, so patients can actually find out if their doctor is on these lists. A study showed that patients are less likely to revisit their physician who is taking kickbacks by 34% to 66%. So you can check if your physician is involved in any schemes like that. And if there's full disclosure, it's called the Sunshine Law. So your state may have that and may have a website. It's hard to say how to repeal any of the Affordable Care Act at this point. I don't think it's going to happen. Open Payments, the Sunshine Law with regard to physician kids kickbacks is usually starting to expose a lot of this. Here's a quote from Genevieve Farmkanter again. She says, transparency can act as a deterrent for doctors to refrain from behaviors that reflect badly on them and also not good for their patients. And also, Ronald Reagan said this in 1986. He says, government's view of the economy could be summed up in just a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. Money answereth all things, Ron. So Dr. Cantor's work revealed we have a serious problem among our medical practitioners, and patients entrust themselves to their care, and it appears that over half of our physicians aren't trustworthy. That's what the survey said. So that means you have at least a 35% chance of selecting an ethical physician. And you had better be extremely diligent in selecting them. It may require some, networking and some research first. P.J. O'Rourke said, if you think healthcare is expensive now, wait until what it costs is free. End of quote. Yeah, so this is what the people with, government-run healthcare in Australia and the UK have found out. It's not free, and it's going bankrupt, and they still don't have good care. And Hippocrates said this back in the 1400s. He said, if you are not your own doctor, you are a fool. He said, foods are your medicine. So if we're not looking after ourselves through diet, lifestyle, exercise, what we're putting in the body matters. Hippocrates says we're foolish. So maybe it's time, people kind of do their own herbal boot camp kind of thing and kind of get into herbs, how they can benefit them, get their feet wet and learn some more, take baby steps and learn some more and so forth. So on before you know it, you're pretty good at it. If you feel under the weather, you'll actually know the difference between a virus and a bacterial infection. You'll get that good. And then you know which herb to use. Amazing. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they do have a free product catalog, which will list the formulas they make, the ingredients that are in there, counter-regulatory information, and also they do offer some reviews in their catalog, but a lot more reviews on products are on their website at thepowerherbs.com. So you can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or visit them at thepowerherbs.com and be empowered. So it's the best kept secret, remember, God's medicine. Yeah, how did it work out that way? For thousands of years, that's what people used. Until when? Oh, about 1940. Yeah, if you missed the show on that, you can go to the archives and check it out. So, let's see, we got a few minutes left, and we're going to talk about a little bit of disease deflectors, how you can deflect, become as disease-proof as possible. So we've got a lot of scientific experts. They're saying that, we are what we eat, and if we eat more fruits and vegetables that are high in flavones or flavonoids, it will tend to reduce the likelihood of us getting seriously sick. How about that? Flavanol nutrition can reduce your risk of developing asthma, dermatitis, candida infections, cataracts, diabetes, gout, macular degeneration, migraines, periodontal disease, ulcers, varicose veins. Amazing. So when you're looking to your food sources that have more flavonoids or flavanols in them, they can be in the area of the fruits and vegetables with pigments, dark greens, yellows, and oranges. There are like 6,000 different substances that are found in our plants. And flavanols, they were discovered in 1938 by a Hungarian scientist called Albert Goyacki, who called the substance vitamin P at the time. So what does flavanol do? According to Goyacki's research, flavanols are complicated compounds with varying chemical groups that, depending on the food source, will depend on the chemistry. So sometimes the flavanols are named after the plant that they're found in. Gingentin is from the ginkgo tree. Quercetin flavonoids are mostly found in your vegetables and fruits. So what do the flavanols actually do to protect your health? Well, according to the world's healthiestfoods.org, they say it prevents a rupture or a leaking of your blood vessels and prevents inflammation and protects cells from oxygen damage while managing the benefits of your vitamins like vitamin C. And according to Dr. Ray Shalvalin, he says flavonoids reduce the oxidative stress and your free radical damage on a cellular level inside your body, especially in the cardiovascular area. So how would you know if you're depleted? Well, what are some of the signs that you may not be getting enough flavanols? All research is indicating that if you bruise easily, have frequent colds, infections, or nosebleeds, and you swell a lot when you get injured, you may be low in these flavanols, probably not eating enough fruits and vegetables. And your brain actually needs this kind of food, too. This is research done in 2006. Was published in the Journal of Neurology. They say flavanols in your foods and your vegetables reduce the risk of cognitive decline in the elderly, but they have to have at least 4 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. Most Americans are lucky if they get 2. So what may be helpful is to determine how much fruits and vegetables you're lacking, and you can find out there's a fruit and vegetable calculator. Mm-hmm. Which is based on your calorie consumption, age, sex, and activity level. So if you're like 53, if you're a female, let's say you exercise at least 30 minutes a day, you may need 1.5 cups of fruit and 2.5 cups of vegetables a day. So you can just, the CDC website has this calculator if you want to check it out. Look for their fruit and vegetable calculator there. Foods to consider, some good flavanol foods, apples, apricots, blueberries, pears, raspberries, strawberries. Other sources to consider are your black beans, cabbage, onions, garlic, parsley, pinto beans, spinach, and tomatoes. And you may also find them in your dark chocolate and your cocoa. Now, these types of foods have the higher concentrations, about 100 milligrams per ounce of your flavanols. They're also called anti-thionins, okay? And green and white tea have about 1,000 milligrams as well. And the reason is your tea leaves are dried immediately instead of just fermented as a black tea or oolong tea would be. And they can contain less tannic acids. And medical research indicates that it's difficult to overdose on flavones even while you're pregnant. So what herbs may have these wonderful flavonoids or flavones in them? Well, one particular herb is very powerful with flavanol, and it's hawthorn berry. Research done on hawthorn discovered that this berry helps to prevent congestive heart failure and angina. So hawthorn is an antioxidant. Has some photochemicals, including flavonoids called quercetin. And according to German studies on the hawthorn, they think quercetin is responsible for improving vascular function. It dilates. It has a vasodilator effect, reducing your systolic and diastolic blood pressure. They also have some zesty flavonoils, peppers, the hot ones. Jalapenos, red and green peppers are considered a superfood source of flavanols. So not only are they hot foods and they have a lot of spice, they also improve circulation and also improve that vasodilation effect. They boost your immune system and help maximize the health benefits of a lot of the antioxidants that you have in your vitamins and minerals in your foods. And other benefits would be reduces pain, inflammation, cuts mucus and helps burn unwanted fat. Cayenne, hot and spicy. So if you're looking for a flavanol-rich supplement made with certified organic whole foods, Hey, that would be calling the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They're definitely whole foods all the way. And you'll find all those wonderful vitamin, mineral, amino acid, plant protein, flavanols, antioxidants, you name it. It's all in the plant still, and it's still in their product. So they don't do heat or fractionalized plant compounds. They're not synthetic. They're not a mixture of synthetic and organic. They are just all still standard organic and amazing. And you'll notice the difference. So your body, you'll notice the difference. So check them out. They have a free catalog they can send you. The number is 866-229-3663. Now, it's a toll-free number, 24/7, 866-229-3663. And the website, thepowerherbs.com. International calls, 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Now, if you're really wanting to get educated and learn things as you go and things that will empower you and maybe your family and friends, do sign up for their newsletters that are free, but you have to have an email address to get them because they're only delivered by email. So if you're on the powerherbs.com website, click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up there for free. They have two newsletters. They have the American Survival, and that usually goes out on Tuesday, and their Health Quest goes out on Friday. So if you want to get a Health Quest tomorrow, now's the time to sign up for one of those. And it's an opt-out kind of thing. So if you decide you don't want to receive it later on, you can simply ask to be removed from the list. So that's thepowerherbs.com. Click on books and newsletters and sign up there. Of course, the Power Herbs book, PDF download, Kindle or iPad version is also available for $14.99. That's 400 pages of information on health therapies and herbs that you may want to also have in your library. And it's a download, and you can select the format. That's also available there at thepowerherbs.com. Well, I am flat out of time. And don't forget to get your catalog, get empowered, look into it, call Apothecary Herbs, ask questions. It's all about getting educated and empowered, and you'll be glad you did. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.